This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 758. I am Lisa Sheps, back after a two-week absence, and I am joined by my lovely, talented, and my favorite co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. We will be right back, whether you like it or not.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up.
The finish line. It is Wednesday, February 7th, 2024, and on the show today we have Austin Playhouse and their production of The Spitfire Grill. Later on we'll be talking to City Theater and their show Twilight of the Golds. And of course we're going to have lively, witty, and very intelligent discussion about the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, and Wichita Falls, Texas. We'll be right back. I could have said Minneapolis. Your microphone was on, so you said it.
Wichita Falls native.
We have a Wichita Falls native in the house. That's why I said it. So, hi, Nicole. How are you?
Hi, Lisa.
I need to thank you on the air and publicly for covering for me for 2 weeks while I was out making money.
You were out making the money.
I was out making money. That, you know, the landlord, the landlord doesn't like my my theater salary very much.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, so I got to go make the money. But thank you. You did a great job.
Thank you. I had fun. I mean, I missed you, but I had fun. And I also would like to give a thank you and a shout out to Mr. Tracy Schultz.
He's family.
Who guest engineered and guest co-hosted. Yeah,
we love him.
We do.
And I'm just going to thank, since we're thanking people, Kim Simpson for another wonderful International
Always
Folk Bazaar.
Always leaving it internationally and folky and bizarre-y.
He's amazing. Let's introduce the folks that are here with us, shall we?
I know. We have some good people in
here. We already heard Laura Haddock speak. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
And we have newcomer to the show, newcomer to the radio, is it Ella Mia Carter or Mia Carter? What do you go by?
You know, that's a great question. I go by Mia. I have my whole life. Okay. My first name is Ella. I like Ella Mia Carter as a stage name.
Ella Mia Carter.
Right? So
it's like Ella, it's like
LMNOP. Decision.
Hey, LMNOP. That's what my mom says.
Okay.
So.
So we'll call you Mia today.
Sounds good.
And Lynn Kinning, how are you?
Always happy to be here, Lisa.
It's always happy to have you here. And in the background is Sarah Chong Dickey, who's waving. She's from Wichita Falls. Yeah. I have a story about Wichita Falls. Which
tried to say she was not like, suitable I'm just going to be in the corner. You won't know I was here. We were like, yeah, that's not going to
work. That's not. It doesn't work on offstage and on the air.
We all know you're here.
Yep.
And we're happy about it.
So we played at the top of the show there from the Grammy-winning cast album of Some Like It Hot.
I know.
They won the Grammy.
They did.
And they were up against some tough competition. Kimberly Akimbo, Parade, Shucked, something called Sweeney Todd. I've not heard of that one.
Well, I mean, you mean The Grobes?
The Grobes.
Who doesn't love The Grobes?
Has anybody seen any of those shows?
I saw Sweeney.
You saw Sweeney
you
with
saw
The Grobes.
You saw The Grobes.
And
Annalee Ashford.
Oh, my God.
Ashford. Yeah, back in August.
Oh, and what did your review?
I enjoyed it. I would love to see other replacement cast members and see how it changes.
Interesting. Interesting.
I think the Aaron Tveit Sutton Foster combo is going to be really interesting.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. They showed some rehearsal footage of them this week.
Yay.
And it made me go, oh, yeah.
And I will have to correct you only because I know how to pronounce
Tveit.
His name. It's Tveit.
I know.
It's like, it's not Tvnine, it's Tveit.
Well, say it again.
Tveit. Anyway, okay.
You say either, and I say either.
So I didn't, you know, never mind. Some Like It Hot. So I have to say that when I heard of this as a trans person, when I heard it was first doing it, I said, no, we don't need this man in a dress trope on stage anymore. It needs to go away. I actually worked on Sugar which is Some Like It Hot, ages ago. I love the show.
But should we say the original Some Like It Hot, like, musical?
But as a trans person and activist for the gender vert. Oh, let me just say this one little thing here. The opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of the of Co-op Radio, its board of directors, its staff, or its underwriters. It's just me.
So you'd have been very proud of me. I said that right off the bat last 2 weeks because we were given a lot of opinions.
I'm supposed to, but you know what? You know, usually theater is not all that controversial.
No, but I feel like lately.
But in the state of Texas, people don't like gender diverse people. I was all ready to not like Some Like It Hot, and then as it came in, and the reviews, and they'd switched everything around to make Jay Harrison G character actually a trans person, not just a guy in a dress. They were all saying they fixed a lot of those problems, but a very dear friend of mine who runs and directs a theater, is on the board of a theater in Maui, went to New York to see it. She is a trans person and said she was totally insulted through the whole thing. And she said, it's man in dress tropes all the way through. So, and I trust her. Allie Shore, shout out to you. So I want to see it so that I can make my own judgments because I don't need to hear any more jokes about men dressing up as women. That's just not all that funny to me anymore. Boy, was it funny once upon a time, though. It's real knee slapper time.
Walk, walk, walk.
Walk. Speaking of knee slappers... I saw this in a little website called Playbill.com. It's called Five, the Musical. Sound like something?
Six.
Okay. So here it is. This has got a book and lyrics by Shimmy Braun and Moshiel Newman Daphna, and music and lyrics by Billy Recca. It is indeed a parody of Six. And the five people, where's the notice that says what they all are? It's interesting. Maybe it's up here. Yeah. Ivana, Marla, Melania, Stormy, and Ivanka.
When I saw the five, I was women. Like, because at first I was like, well, what did they redo? What history? And this and that. And then I was like, oh, that history. That's funny.
I love the poster. Wow.
It's hilarious.
And it's got
crazy hair
up on the top, just the toupee part. It should have been a red tie. It's not a red tie, it's a white tie.
Well, that wouldn't go with the branding.
It wouldn't, the but way I'm just the saying purple that's what it and the white.
So I know someone working on this.
Do you?
I do, actually. Get to chime in on this.
Yay.
This is amazing.
Do it.
Lena Gabriel, who she was a music director for our workshop production of The Battlefields of Clara Barton. Lynn
she
also
was the music
knows
director
her
on this.
Then she toured with Six for years.
Heard of it.
And is now, it's a little known musical. and is now working on Five in New York.
That's fantastic.
Incredible. Opens February 15th, or it starts previews on February 15th at Theater 555. I don't know that theater, but I'm guessing it's at 555 something.
Yeah, but that's kind of fantastic that that's what their address is for the...
Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah, I love that.
You want to know the other address that makes me laugh in New York? The Girl Scout headquarters. They're located at 420 West 37th Street. Incredible. I find that funny with the cookies.
Okay. We know what 420 means.
Why, Nicole? Why would that be funny?
But
yeah.
Five, the parody musical, a primary held by the women in the life of our loathsome 45th president. It is a parody that at last gives these women their moment in the limelight, a chance to grab back.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
There's some, they've had some fun with the marketing.
Mia's, oh my God, I know what that means. Me too, but it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, but it's like, it seems like a lot of, that's some good marketing.
Yep. Hell's Kitchen, the Alicia Keys musical.
Yes.
They are moving to Broadway, directed by Michael Greif.
Yes.
It's going to open at the Schubert Theater on April 20th.
You know I love me the Schubert.
It's my birthday.
It is. Well, they did that for
they did that on
yes.
me.
They did.
420. Back to the 420.
I almost mentioned it then.
That's
I
was funny.
Like, we keep going there.
We keep going those there.
Okay.
I do love that Schubert. It's so...
Yep. Leading the cast is a woman named Malia Joy Moon, playing Allie. Also has Shoshana Bean and Brandon Victor Dixon in it as well.
I do they're love coming him. In.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I know.
But this looks interesting. Alicia Keys.
Not my jam.
Yeah, I just don't know.
I like Alicia Keys, but I have no desire to watch her music with another story. Like, I'm just. But again, you know, I say I'm angry about a lot of things and then I see it and I'm like, I was so wrong.
You never know. Yep.
So, you know, if I am. But again, there's a lot of things above that before that.
So they are bringing back John Patrick Shanley's Doubt. And it was set to star Tyne Daly.
I know, but and today
she's in the hospital. Suddenly she got an illness. They're not really saying what it is. She's going to be okay. It's not something that is as that
King
merits.
Charlesy.
It's King Charlesy. Oh my gosh! Leif Shriver is also in it, and it had begun previews.
Leif Shriver.
Yep, he loves you too.
He does.
She's going to be replaced by Amy Ryan, who's going to begin performances February 13th. Her understudy has been going on. They canceled one show. I think that's
a bummer.
Interesting, yeah.
That just seems like something really fantastic to see her in.
Yeah.
I hope she gets better.
So, yeah. Yep. Me too. I'm sorry. I'm just reading to myself.
I was
other
like,
stuff.
So you're just off.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to read to myself on the radio.
Solid choice.
Reading on the air with Lisa
makes
Shops.
Makes for really good radio. All right. We're not going to have time. Surprise. We're not going to have time to get to everything we want to get to because I want to make sure we have plenty of time for our, what are they called? Guests. I need to choose. So this is interesting. Sarah Bareilles and Sarah Ruhl are... Oh, the two Sarahs. I wonder if they're going to call it Sarah Squared.
Sarah Squared.
S Squared.
Nick and I can give them a...
They are adapting Meg Wolitzer's novel, The Interestings, which I am not familiar with. You're nodding. Do you know the book?
I know... I only know of this because my family are like crazy book readers.
Okay, good. I wish I was.
Share the books. We all share books and pass them around and sign it. And then you know who
read
it.
Did you read this then?
To this one. I have not read that yet, but it's on the table that Bob's like, you have to read it.
It was released in 2013, and it follows six teenagers who meet at summer camp in the 70s. So all these people are my age.
Yes.
I just want to go on record as saying that.
Me too.
Sarah Bareilles said this? I don't know if one of them said this. It's got to be Sarah Bareilles. I wrote the first song for The Interestings before I even finished the book. To borrow a quote from one of our main characters, I have fallen in love with a group of people. So I don't know. Sarah Bareilles and Sarah Ruhl, that's a pretty good combo.
Pretty good combo. Mm-hmm.
They may go somewhere. I'm sorry. I'm in that camp. I'm sort of in love with Sarah Bareilles.
I think you love her.
I think she can do no wrong.
I don't know.
I know.
Not a fan of Waitress.
How do other people feel?
I think she's talented, and I like her, and I have albums. Just
well, in fairness,
I never liked the movie. So
in fairness to me, I've not seen the musical Waitress.
Yeah,
I missed it when it was here.
But the marketing was great for that, and the pies and the thing. Like, there's some really good stuff.
Everybody loves pies. How do we feel about Waitress?
I have not seen it.
Okay. Yeah, we're counting on you.
But I'm gonna tell you right now.
But I do like pie,
and she's fantastic in Girls 5 Eva.
Yeah, I wasn't able to get into that.
Oh,
but,
my goodness.
We will cover that on when Offstage and On the Air goes TV.
Well, I mean, it's Renee Elise Goldsberry and Ashley. It's the Broadway of Broadways, and I can't sing the songs on air that I want to.
Okay, but it looks, the Interestings looks interesting.
Interesting.
Yep. Very quickly, I'm not going to really talk about it, but there's a review. I saw an article last week about this show called The Connector, which opened last week, and the reviews in the New York Times were not good. But it stars Scott Bakula. It's at the MCC Theater. No, it doesn't star Scott Bakula. He's one of the people in it. But it's basically a musical version of Lifespan of a Fact, if you ask me.
Isn't that strange?
Although not as good, evidently. So you can go online at offstageonair.com and click a link to the review, or you could just go to the New York Times. I don't care if you go to my website or not.
Offstageonair.com.
I'd like you to.
You can sign up in there.
But the music was written by somebody named Jason Robert Brown.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy who
might go somewhere.
He seems to not be able to do any wrong these days as well. But it's about, you know, what is truth and what is, and it's all based on, and I forgot the name of the people in the New Yorker magazine that wrote a I don't know if it was Pulitzer Prize, but a prize winning article that ended up to be totally false. So anyway, go and you can read all about that. Both the original article, which is a interview with Jason Robert Brown, the playwright, I forgot her name. Hold on, I can tell you because I got it right here. I said I have Daisy Prince, who is also the director, as well as the writer, which is somebody else. I'm so good.
Way to get us to go to that website, it's that Lisa.
Person. I am so good.
They came along with this person.
Go to the website. And then finally, for our last little thing I want to talk about right now is your favorite thing. You needn't have sent me the article, even though you did, because I was going to do it anyway. But Purple Rain, we've talked about it on this before, is going to be a musical.
Well, we've been talking for 20 years that it needed to become a musical. And I'm like, it's already written.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Written by Brandon Jacobs Jenkins. That's hard to say.
It is.
Anybody? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lynn's nodding. Which,
well, he'll
John
be providing.
Jacob Dingleheimer Schmidt.
Yes. Schmidt, yes.
He'll
His name was my name,
a
too.
Book from the original screenplay, because he will be using
Correct.
A lot of the original screenplay.
And it's going to be directed by Liliana Blaine Cruz, who she directed. Didn't she direct that Thornton Wilder?
Our Town?
Not Our Town, the.
Skin of Our Teeth?
Skin of Our Teeth, thank you. This was the dinosaur, so yeah, I made that. A dinosaur thing. I thought she did. I could be wrong. My memory never really works.
You guys are who I want to play charades with.
But it's going to start in the spring of 2025, which will be here before we know it.
Uh-huh.
It's based on the film 1994. And no, it's going to play... It's
based on the film Purple Rain from
1984, excuse me.
I was about to say, but I think it was 80s, yes.
It's 84. And it's going to open first at the Hennepin Theater in Minneapolis.
Like, Minnesota. Why would you... Like, you got to do it there. I'm
Minneapolis, yeah. Minnesota is a lyric from a little show called The Spitfire Grill.
It is. It's also home of Prince.
It's also home of Prince.
Which is...
Who is a prince.
Why? Yeah.
He makes his prince. Less of an appearance in Spitfire Grill.
He does make less of an appearance. I'm going to make a weekend of it. I'm going to go do a Paisley Park. I'm going to make it a Prince weekend. I am so excited.
I'm all for it. So we're going to take a break and we're going to listen to Purple Rain. So you have to kind of play that. But here's where you're going to be very mad at me.
I know you wouldn't have played Prince. Who's
it's
singing it?
It's not Prince's. You tell me after the break.
Okay.
Here's Purple Rain. We'll be right back.
Purple Rain.
And we are back. You are listening to Off Stage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro and our band of merry people here that we're going to reintroduce in just about 2 seconds. That's our new theme song. So we hear rumor that John Cecil, who was on the show last week or the week before?
2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago, is going to write us a new theme song.
He said he would.
We need one.
We're going to hold him to the fire. I'm going to email him about that again.
But let's leave Austin, Texas for the wilds of Wisconsin for just a very moment. And introduce the folks from Austin Playhouse and their production of the Spitfire Grill. We have the director of the show, and I never remember your title, the producing artistic director of Austin Playhouse. One day I'm going to get it without asking, but every single time.
I would be sad.
Laura Haddock, hi.
Hi.
We have the musical director, Lynn Kinning. How are you?
Hello,
welcome back.
Doing well.
And the star of the show, Mia Carter, or Ella Mia Carter, or LMNOP.
Any of those work. I'll respond.
And Sarah Chong Dickey is there is silently
trying to
in
hide,
the background.
But she's here. Oh, yeah.
hello.
She
hello,
yelled,
hello,
but in true fashion of a thespian, she stage yelled it. so we didn't hear her, but I guarantee you she was there. So you are doing the Spitfire Grill. Tell us about the show, Laura.
Sure.
What is it?
This is a musical. The music is kind of has an Americana mix, so a little bit of folk, a little bit of bluegrass, and there's a song that I refer to as the 80s montage pop song. The Digging Stone.
Okay, yes. Okay, got it.
80s montage. It takes the story of Percy Talbot, who is a young woman, and we meet her as she's being released from prison. We don't know why she's been there. And she has decided, based on why we should all relocate to places and a picture she saw in a travel book, to go to the tiny, picturesque, but very rundown town of Gilead, Wisconsin. And so she shows up there, and this town is just not in a good place. Like, everybody is angry. The quarry has closed down. Relationships aren't great. And she ends up working at the only restaurant in town, the Spitfire Grill, run by a very grumpy lady named Hannah, played by Bernadette Nason. And it's a story of Percy coming to terms with her traumatic past and finding her path to redemption, and along the way the townsfolk do as well. And when you start throwing away around, you know, hope and redemption and all of that, it can start to sound very feel good, and those feelings are there, of course, but it I think it's earned.
Yep.
You know, these people are very grounded, very real, and so that cathartic experience that they go through, we're watching the audience go through that as well each night.
Yeah,
that's good.
You should tell Laura, she wasn't here when you were telling Mia about Lisa cried. And Lisa does not cry.
I was gonna get there. I got the opportunity to see it last Saturday night, and we canceled rehearsal so I could go see your show.
Lisa.
That's not true, but I thought I'd just say that.
I'm gonna pretend I didn't hear that second part.
And I really enjoyed the performance. It's funny. I saw you at intermission. I said, so far, it's good. You said so far. But no, I just directed this piece myself out at Southwestern University last fall. And I came in there. You know how when you direct something, you want to hate anybody else's production. And I didn't. I really enjoyed it. I thought you all did such a great job. And Mia made me cry at the end. And I know, you know,
Which is not easy to do.
I worked on
this
show for 6 weeks. So, mm-hmm. Nothing was a surprise to me in terms of that. So y'all did a great job. It's a wonderful show and a wonderfully produced show. Lynn, tell us a little bit about the music and how you approached the musical direction.
Well, I have a great pit of four other musicians beside myself. We have a violinist, cellist, guitar, mandolin player, and then keyboard, accordion. So we've got a nice folk instrument sound. I play piano, and my left hand doubles as the acoustic bass.
The life needs more accordion and more saxophone. Yeah. That's how I feel. Yeah, but more, I love accordion and saxophones. We could have them everywhere.
No cowbell in the show, but.
You know. I was going to say it needs more cowbell.
And it's a very collaborative group, and because it's a small cast and a small band, everyone's like 100% on all the time. Yeah. The music almost serves as another character in the show.
Sure, there's a lot of underscoring in this show, which is a challenge as we put stuff together, especially since we don't get a lot of that underscoring until we get the band and we go, oh, got to put underscoring under this scene.
Yes, the timing is tricky, but we try to make that unnoticeable to the audience.
Yeah, and I will say you did a good job.
Thank you.
It was indeed. Mia, you are ostensibly the star. I mean, it really features two characters in the main character, but you are the character that comes from prison. Tell us about Perchance.
Perchance.
Or as y'all called him, Perchance.
Oh, interesting. yeah, I mean, she, something I've said before, she kind of is a Spitfire. She's just been through a lot, and she doesn't really know how to talk to other people. It's very hard for her to form connections because she's had so many walls built up. So it's really beautiful to watch throughout the show as those walls crumble. And I think that's what makes it so heartfelt. But yeah, I've had such a blast. I'm so honored to be in this show. And thanks, Laura. Thanks, Lynn. yeah.
Well, she's got a wonderful arc. She had not the most pleasant life in previous, and we see a little bit of that in the show. So a very interesting arc to play, I would think, for an actor.
Absolutely. Yeah. It puts me through the ringer for sure.
Yeah.
A lot going on, but yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, let's take this opportunity to, you're going to sing for us, aren't you?
I am.
What are you going to sing? Do we want to set this song up at all?
Sure. This is what is the actual into the frying pan.
Yeah. The titles of these songs are
hard. The titles are not always descriptive, and they go on, as we've mentioned, for so long that we kind of weave from one song to another. So this is pretty early on. Percy has, through circumstances, is in charge of the kitchen at the grill, and she does not cook. So it is a high stress situation that we are entering here. And this is it's a fun, lively song. So
Wonderful. So this is Ella Mia Carter singing a song from Austin Playhouse, a production of the Spitfire Grill.
Mm-hmm. 7 cups white flour, 3 cups oatmeal, 4 cups brown sugar packed, 2 cups shortening, 4 cups buttermilk, 5 cups apples chopped, a tablespoon of cinnamon, teaspoon of salt, 4 large fresh eggs beat. Heat oven, 350, grease up square pans, coffee cake for 36. Damn. Got a recipe for disaster. Turn the stove a little higher. Then jump out of the frying pan, right back to the fire. Never ever cooked a meal that didn't start its life out in a can. Yes, I'm the queen of TV dinners. Pull me out of the fire, back in the frying pan. Got my apron tied on backwards, and the oatmeal's boiled too long. That shelf breakfast biscuit's burning, and the coffee is too strong. There's so much butter in the batter, it could probably stop the heart of Superman. Serve up a side of indigestion. Slide me out of the fire, back in the frying pan.
Yay. That is such a fun
awesome
number.
Sauce.
That's a really fun number. That's a fun scene, too.
It is.
Yep.
We had fun with that.
So only because I have knowing the script, having directed mm-hmm. myself, one of the things I found interesting in the stage directions, which I just typically throw out at the beginning of any production, but they talk mm-hmm. about the accents of these people. Mm-hmm. And Percy comes from the South and everybody's from Midwest. And they specifically say that the townsfolk should not have any kind of accent. And the only one was Mercy. Percy, how did y'all handle that? I think it was kind of fun. I enjoyed it. As an audience, watching y'all do that.
Tell me more about what you enjoyed.
Percy has got a sort of a down woodsy mm-hmm. kind of feel to her. And I think one of the things that, I'm getting sort of into the weeds here, that one could do when they hear that something takes place in Wisconsin is to go to a Wisconsin kind of dialect. And it's specifically...
While drinking a pop,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and we didn't do that. And I mean, we did a show earlier this season called The Norwegians that was set in Wisconsin.
Oh, that's right, it was.
And for that, the dialects of all the characters were a really integral part of the show and a lot of how their characters were driven. And for this show, a lot of what I enjoyed was kind of the universality of what had happened to this town and how it... it was set in Wisconsin. Certainly we have the cold weather scenes and there's a mm-hmm. whole song about that. But otherwise, it felt like a lot of these depressed small towns across the Midwest or in the Upper East or in the South. So I was not personally as concerned that we be representing the Wisconsin-ness of it. I don't know that that was anywhere adjacent
that
to
was
Wisconsin.
Excellent. I don't
even know why I made that choice. So Percy needed to be an outsider, but we have Bernadette Nason, who is a Brit playing
yes.
Hannah, and we just, you know, needed her to hit some R's in there. Bernadette does a lovely job.
She does.
She absolutely does. So it was not something that I spent a lot of time with.
Amazing. Speaking of Bernadette, she's just wonderful and fun, and she kind of knocked it out of the park. Tell us about some of your other cast and any other designers or creators that you want to mention.
Absolutely. Thank you. So it's a 7-person cast. As we mentioned, kind of a small cast. So we have Mia playing Percy, Bernadette playing Hannah. Sarah Fleming Walker is another member of our acting company that has some gorgeous songs in the show. John Michael Hoke and Matt Connolly are newcomers to our stage. And then Wendy Zavaleta and James Davery have been in Austin Playhouse Productions before, but not for a while. And so we're delighted to have them back.
That was a lovely cast, yeah. And and very good. And one of the things that, and we're going to have to wrap up really soon, mm-hmm. but one of the things about this show and many shows that are written recently, it's sort of written cinematically with changes and everything. That time is very fluid.
It came from a movie.
Yes, I know. Which have you seen?
I have.
No.
I have.
Very different.
The ending is very different. I won't spoil it for anybody.
Very, very different. I purposely, when I do something, I try to keep myself away from anything else. I watched it after my show closed, and my mouth was kind of agape. It's a very... Very interesting.
We had Sarah Fleming Walker watched it right before we started rehearsals, and I got her take on it and just made the decision that I would not go there.
You don't need to.
But it is interesting that how it's written is even in the stage directions it says crossfade to between scenes many times.
Interesting.
But anyway, that's great. You guys are already open.
Yes.
And at the night I was there, full house, so I'm guessing everything is doing really well. But where can folks... When do you close, and where can folks go to get more information?
Sure, we have 8 more performances. We run this weekend and next through February 18th. Mm-hmm. Our website is always a great place to find information, austinplayhouse.com.
Right, and you are in your new space... Our temporary space in off the campus on the drag. And I will say it is easy to find. Parking can be interesting, but there are plenty of garages around.
Absolutely. We have directions on our website.
Excellent. Before we let you go, I know you have another little show, a cabaret or a musical review coming up.
Mm-hmm. We do. We have a cabaret coming up the weekend right after we close Spitfire, and Lynn can mention what's being featured.
Mention
in that.
It.
Featuring the music of William Finn, John Buccino, and Adam Gettle.
That's a great combo.
Any notable performers that we would like to come
and
see?
We do. You'll see Sarah Fleming Walker from our show also. Andrew Cannata is in it. Kia Zani, Tyler Jones, and Sarah Zarang.
Great.
That's a great combo. Mm-hmm.
And I will have, just because I've told you in person and via email, but I just want to put it out on the airwaves, congratulations. You just won a lovely grant to build your new space, which I'm very excited for. I'm excited for you, and I'm excited for the whole community.
Thank you. We are in the next phase of our fundraising journey, so we still have a ways to go, but it's a huge lift.
It's a big step really forward, grateful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, great. Well, thank you all for
and
coming
very
on.
Very exciting.
Me too. Yes, I agree.
I was just agreeing with you.
Well, great. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Good luck for the rest of the run.
Thanks so much.
Okay, that was Laura Haddock, Ella Mia Carter, Lynn Kenning, and Sarah Chong Dickey of Austin Playhouse in their production of The Spitfire Grill, playing now through February 18th. For more information, you may visit austinplayhouse.com, and we will be right back after we get back from the ice and snow. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. We had a lovely, lovely chat with Laura, Mia, Lynn, and Sarah. And we've switched things up here in the studio. We have new people here. I'm going to introduce them right now. We have Jim Lindsay. Hi, Jim. Wait, you know what? I'm going to turn your microphone on. Let's try that again.
Yes, magical. There I am.
There you are.
Hi, everybody.
Lindsay Polinsky.
Hello there.
And Jan Phillips.
Hello.
Hi, welcome. Before we get to talk about your stuff, we're going to sit and talk about other stuff going locally. Other stuff. So I wanted to talk about a couple things. I saw this Fancy Meeting Me Here by Leanne Webster, who I'm assuming is a traveling artist. It's going to be at the Rosette Theater on February 22nd. You can get information at leannemariewebster.com. Here's what it is.
Tell me about it, Lisa.
I'm going to read the blurb.
Okay.
Growing up in Southern Ohio with an alcoholic dad and a bipolar mom, Leanne has to learn how to forge her own way. When she's 4 years old, her only protector, her 12-year-old brother, dies, leaving behind a grieving family and her parents' divorce. All Leanne wants to do is go to Disneyland, but life has other plans. Leanne brings the audience to an inspiring, empowering, and unforgettable journey as she embraces the adversity of her childhood and finds support amongst the most unlikely places, including from the other side. So that sounds interesting.
I forgot the last line. I sounds like that.
Okay, the last line is, it doesn't matter where you started, it matters where you go.
Yeah, see, that's a good line. Okay. Don't leave that out.
I just didn't like to be lectured, that's
all.
Yeah,
well.
The other thing I want to talk about is a book. So I, well, last week when I wasn't here, I was working on a corporate gig, and somebody I work with said, I have a present for you. And he handed me a book called Curtain Call, The History of Theater in Austin, Texas.
Oh.
I went, wow. And it is, and I think everybody will find it interesting. It goes from the 1800s to the 1900s, and it's amazing. I haven't read the whole thing yet, but it is amazing how many theaters there were
in Austin, Texas,
in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very interesting thing to see. So I thought when I saw it, and it's written by, Joe Edgar Manry. And I said, well, I wonder if he's still around. I can get him on the show.
1839, 1905.
I see 1905. Thank you. And I looked him up, but didn't. I saw his obituary written by Robert Ferris.
That's crazy.
So you can see you can link to that obituary at offstageonair.com. What a cool book.
And what a great gift. What a nice surprise.
Yeah. I know. I was flabbergasted. And it's very interesting. There is a theater in the 1800s called Hyde Park Theater. I don't know if it is a precursor to our current Hyde Park Theater.
It's crazy.
But they also talk Schultz's Garden was there. What was the other one? There was another one that I went, oh, okay. And they have pictures of Austin in the old days. They show a map where all these theaters are. But there were like 7 theaters in the 1800s in Austin, Texas, when the population was in the hundreds, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. It's amazing. But this, and I just want to highlight the...
Maybe someone should let city council know about all the historical facts on the theaters and how it is important possibly to keep those theaters and preserving it. I think that should be... I might gift everyone on the council that,
so,
Lisa.
Anyway, I think that's a great idea.
I do.
When I did a slight mistake. When I said that the author was... The obit was written by...
Robert Ferris.
It's not. It's the person that did the foreword. And I read the foreword, and it sounded really interesting. And this person was a theater critic in Austin. And he's the one. His name is John Buston. Does that name... You're nodding.
Yes.
He wrote for The Statesman.
Yes.
You've read his... How long have you been in Austin, Jan?
Long time.
Long time. Okay.
50 years.
Well, anyway, yes. Robert's obituary of him was just, and you know how Robert is. I mean, he's just so
effusive
just to begin with.
And
it's like he's writing of someone who is better than himself, which seems
his writing, man.
Yeah. So that's something that we'll look at. I am considering, and I'm just going to throw this out as a consideration. You can write me at lisa@offstageonair.com. I'm considering regifting that book during our membership drive, which is coming up in just 3 weeks. So
that's
an idea. Curtain Call, The History of Theater in Austin, written by Joe Edgar Manry. The other thing I just want to say is Fusebox Festival, which
say it,
we all
six times fast,
not easy. Which dawned on me, I don't think they've ever been a guest here on the show, and so we're going to have to change that. It happens
for real.
I don't think so. It's in April.
Well,
but,
shame on us.
But tickets will be available starting on Friday.
Ah,
so that's something to look at. They always do such interesting things. I never get to see the whole thing because Ground Floor Theater is a Fusebox venue, and I'm managing that venue. So
you get to see some stuff.
And everything that's been there has been truly amazing.
I was like, you always talk about how much you've enjoyed what's been there. So
yep. Mm-hmm. So here's what's playing. Frontera Fest still going on through the 17th. I think that's 2 weeks if I'm doing my math correctly.
It is. You are correct.
Yep. We love Frontera Fest.
We do.
Where to go? Million Dollar Quartet over at TexArts is playing through the 18th. The Little Mermaid at Zach Theater, playing from the 23rd of January. Oh, no, till March 3rd. It's already playing. And you wrote this, Nicole. It says HCA's Little Mermaid. What is HCA?
Hans Christian Andersen's The Little Mermaid.
Okay.
That was a lot to write
out. You kids and your initials.
Oh, you initial everything. I would have thought you would have gotten that right away.
Didn't. We just heard from them. The Spitfire Grill over at Austin Playhouse is playing through the 18th. The Great Comet of 1637 is playing at Zach Theater now through March
3rd. The lesser known Great Comet.
Yeah, which I need to get over and see.
I was going to see if you wanted to go together.
I do.
Let's be each other's dates.
Different Stages still has the library till through this weekend. And Broadway in Austin, I missed it last night. Beetlejuice is playing at...
Bass. The fun one. It's playing at Bass Concert Hall now. And then it'll be doing it Texas and then runs in Houston opening
You'll
March
see it.
5th.
You'll see it in Houston. Mm-hmm. All right. Peter and the Star Catcher at St. Ed's. Mary Moody Moore Northern Theater.
You got why I did MMNT, yes. Right? You got that one.
They actually call it MMNT.
I know, but you know, I was trying
I happen to
save
know
space
that
on
Hans
here.
Hans Christian Andersen did not call himself HCA. You know, maybe if he was born today, we would do that. Like, you know.
NPH.
Anyway. NPH, that's where I was going, but I was going to say NPA, and I knew that was wrong. Amazing. At the Vortex is playing the 9th to the 11th. I'm going to see Dress Rehearsal tomorrow night.
We had World Famous Bob and Richard and Joseph on last week.
And that I was actually supposed to be in that show.
You were?
I had said yes to it. And then when it came down to really brass tacks, I noticed that it's opening the week that I'm teching the show at my theater.
Yeah, you're already in another show, so that's a little difficult.
Speaking of which, always
a boy.
When I get
you cloned, I'll let you know.
There you go. Speaking of which, always a boy, Ground Floor Theater opens a week from Thursday, plays through March 2nd. I should say that Imagine is playing at the Vortex just one weekend, the 9th through the 11th. And finally, and we're going to talk to them very soon, Twilight of the Golds at City Theater from February 9th to February 25th. Whew, lots of stuff.
I forgot to tell you, and maybe we can do it online. I forgot to tell you that I did have a pair of tickets for Comet to give away. I meant to email you that.
Oh, well, we will do it. We'll do it next week.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay. Today in theater history. Today in theater history.
Things happen.
Lots of birthdays.
Last week was a lot of birthdays.
Oh, really?
Yes, mm-hmm. like two paragraphs full almost. It was cray cray.
TPF, we call that.
Yes.
My favorite author, Charles Dickens.
I was like, Mr. Dickens.
His birthday. Eddie Bracken. Matthew Gumley. I don't know him.
No, but that's a great name.
It is. Jack Viertel. Viertel? I don't know.
I thought you were going to go Kerouac for a minute.
UB Blake, born in 1883.
Really?
Yep. Chris Rock, his birthday, also 1883. And Eddie Izzard, who was in the news.
Izzard has been in the news all the One Person Hamlet, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And opening this week, The Price opened at, I
love
can't
Eddie
tell which
Izzard.
Theater
you
it's
just
at.
Made me smile.
Me too. And I will recommend folks to see The Riches if they haven't.
That is a good one.
It's it's a great...
quite brilliant in that.
And it has like one of the first representations of a trans... character done right. They just didn't. It was a non-issue through the whole thing.
Yeah,
it not made a big deal. A Visit to a Small Planet opened in 1957 at the Booth Theater, and then at the Martin Beck in 1980, Harold and Maude opened.
Cool.
And that was a Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt musical.
Tom Jones.
Yeah, Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt.
It's not unusual.
It's not unusual to have Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt. They penned the incredible The Fantastics.
He's my go-to when I'm stuck in traffic because you cannot get road rage. When you hear like, what's up, pussycat? You're like, you just cannot get road rage.
Oh, not that Tom Jones.
I know, but you said Tom Jones. I had to go that way.
Okay. We have to go, so we have time to talk to our next guests. So let's listen to a little bit of Harold and Maude.
Interesting.
Yeah, and this is the title song.
Oh.
We'll be right back.
Harold and Maude.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. That was Harold and Maude.
It was a little like more uplifting, funny, yeah, that, doodle-a-doo.
They aren't all that way when,
yeah,
I, when
no,
I listen to
but
it.
But you picked one that was.
I did. I wanted something up and zippy.
A doodle-a-doo.
I wanted zippy. Harold and Maude's a great movie.
It kind of really
classic,
is.
Classic, as they say.
I would. I agree with you on that. Look at us agreeing today.
Love it. That's crazy. Well, let's jump and talk to our friends from City Theater and their show, Twilight of the Golds, which, of course, I wrote Twilight of the Gods. it took me a while to figure out it was the Golds. And from it, we have three of the actors in the show. I believe you're all actors, right, in the show?
We yes,
have.
We
I'm going to introduce again Jim Lindsay.
Hello.
Lindsay Polinsky.
Hey, hey.
And Jan Phillips.
Hi there.
All right. This is a very interesting play, and it was also a movie. Somebody tell us about it. What is the play?
Well, The Twilight of the Golds, written by Jonathan Tolens, was written in the early 90s, mm-hmm. produced on Broadway. Very short run, but it did launch quite a career for him. Probably television watching audiences would know Jonathan's work on Queer as Folk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Heard of it.
Yep. Lots of great, great content from this author. So this is his Broadway play, and it takes place in the early 90s, so it's still kind of hanging on the AIDS crisis, right? So we have that shroud over us, and it's about a Jewish family in New York. Kids live in Manhattan, parents live in the burbs, and I play David, who is the son. He is gay, and he is a set designer for the Met. And Lindsay Polinsky plays my sister, who's fabulous. Yeah.
I play Suzanne, and sort of some of the main conflict of this show comes from Suzanne's decisions around her pregnancy and her relationship with her gay brother and kind of how that plays out with their family, their whole family's dynamic.
Right. So this supposes that we can discover from genetics what their sexual orientation
that
is going to be.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're pregnant with a child. I don't believe this is a spoiler. Is it a spoiler?
No.
Yeah.
That your child is going to come out gay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you make a decision about that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the whole show is kind of the Twilight of the Golds, the last name of the family, is a mirror to Wagner's Twilight of the Gods.
Which is what I wanted to call it.
I was like, yes. Yeah.
So there's a wonderful operatic metaphor, extended metaphor, mm-hmm. throughout the show.
And Jan, tell us about your character.
I play Phyllis Gold, the mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a mom who adores her children and kind of a mama bear, but is struggling with issues that kind of don't make sense to her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so she's trying to take care of them, but she's and be true to what she understands, and most of the time she doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm. So, we're guessing, yeah. at least in your generation as family, it skews conservative.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. One of a couple of times the line is different time, different attitudes. And so that's kind of not excuse, but kind of an excuse for kind of not knowing. I didn't know because it was different then.
Yeah, so. we don't like to excuse that, but okay,
yeah, know,
we'll right? do it. We'll do it for the sake of this play. okay, and y'all are going to do a little scene, correct?
Yeah, a little brief one.
Yeah,
tell us. Does it need setting up? What? Tell us about it.
Sure. So in the second act, everybody knows that a decision has been made about what to do with this pregnancy, and this is the beginning of the confrontation between David and his sister, Suzanne.
Okay. Well, this is Jim Lindsay and Lindsay Polinsky doing a scene from City Theater's production of Twilight of the Golds.
Yes?
Open up, you rich lady.
David, you jerk.
I'm going to smash your Krupp's cappuccino maker.
Very funny.
Hey, sis. I called Bloomingdale's and they said that you left early, so I thought I'd catch you here, see how you're doing.
I had a headache.
Oh, that reminds me. This is for you.
Gypsy. Well, at least it's not opera.
Oh, this is the Angela Lansbury recording. I already gave you the original with Merman, but I saw that last time I was here, you hadn't opened up the package. So I figured having two copies improves my chances.
You're really starting to piss me off.
Please, if I wanted to piss you off, I'd give you Tyne Daly.
Put it with the others. I know how you like them in alphabetical order.
My pleasure. Alphabetical order.
I'm making dinner. There's not enough food. You can't stay.
I don't believe it. It can't be. Vittoria!
What are you yelling
about? La Boheme is out of the package. There is hope.
Oh, don't get excited. Moonstruck was on cable.
Oh, so from me it's boring, but from Cher...
Honestly, David, I wish you'd stop bringing us that stuff. It puts me in a very awkward position.
Don't take it personally. Besides, it's not for you anymore.
Rob has no interest.
Somebody will.
Oh, Mom told you. I knew she would. This family talks too much.
So then it's true. How can you? Do you realize what you're doing?
Funny, I don't remember asking for your input.
Suzanne, I just can't sit here and watch this happen.
Stop it, David. Stop it before you say another word. You have no right to come in here and tell me what to do, especially after Marnie Eisner.
What? Marnie Eisner? I can't believe you're throwing that in my face.
You were a junior in high school. You came to me in a panic. Your voice was cracking. You said, Suzanne, I don't know what to do. I can't have a kid. I won't be able to go to college. Remember?
It just happened.
Do you remember how I went with you to the bank and we got some of your bar mitzvah money? Do you?
Yes, yes, I do. I remember.
I brought the two of you to that clinic that smelled like Windex. I held her hand. I held your hand. I took care of both of you, and we got it done.
Yes. You were wonderful.
You were so afraid Mom and Dad would find out.
Now it's what they pray for.
Whatever happened to Marnie?
She lives with a woman. In Seattle. I guess we both knew something was up. Why? What's your point?
I supported you. No questions asked. Now I want you to do the same.
I'm sorry. I can't do that.
Oh my gosh.
Aren't they wonderful?
Y'all did a great job. I want to yell at both of you. amazing. So this play, do we comedy, dramedy?
Yes, where, I would call it a family drama.
Uh-huh. I was about to say, yes. Seemed a little witty, but
there's wit, there are some funny moments. Yes. There's the type of humor that you would have with just kind of a family who's all in each other's business all the time. Yeah.
So what ages would this
yeah,
be?
Where are we PG-13? Who are we going to bring? We're not going to bring our little kiddos, or are we?
We're not going to bring really little kiddos. There are a couple of swears in there, in the script. And, you know,
so
there's some
here on social
sensitive.
I would call it adult content. Yeah.
Yeah. PG-13. And some sensitive subject matter. But I have some former students who are as young as 13 who are coming to see it.
It sounds like PG-13.
Yeah.
If I were to put a rating on it.
I mean, when PG-13 rating first came out and you go back and watch those films, you're like, really? That was PG-13 and not R?
So this is directed by the artistic director of City Theater, Andy Perkowski. Anybody else that you want to mention? Any of the other creative team or some of your fellow cast members? How big is the cast?
There's only five of us. So we've got Rick Felkins and Kurt Kelso that round out our cast of five. It's been really great. A great month kind of getting together as a family. Really wonderful people. And then the rest of our creative team is Stacey Glazer and Michelle. I don't know.
Malia. Yeah, okay. Stacey's been great because she's our dramaturg. Uh-huh. So she's really been schooling us a lot.
Is Stacey dramaturgin?
Yeah, really, really helpful when it comes to understanding Jewish families, Ashkenazi Jews, the Holocaust, contextualizing it appropriately. And it's she's been very helpful.
Excellent.
It's even been helpful for me as a Jew to kind of get a little different side of Judaism than what I was raised with. And so that's been really eye-opening as well.
Excellent. We are going to be, Ground Floor Theater is going to be working with Stacey Glazer on a Holocaust project to go out to the schools. So that's
excellent.
That's good. Well, amazing. You open tomorrow?
We open on Friday.
Friday.
And you are at the City Theater's new space in the church over there that I'm pointing at.
Genesis Creative Collective, I think it's called.
Genesis Creative Collective. Yep. And so that's awesome. When do you play? How long do you play?
February 9 through 25 and 1 May. Look for information about the show at citytheateraustin.org.
Excellent. Well, thank y'all so much for being on the
show. Fantastic. Yeah,
thank you so much.
I'm looking forward to seeing the show. All my favorite people are in it.
Look at that. And us.
And the three of you. There you go. Okay, that was Jim Lindsay Polinsky, and Jan Phillips of City Theater's production of Twilight of the Golds, playing February 9th through 25th. You may get information at citytheater.org. And the song I'm going to play is called I Know the Fortune Teller from a show called The Fortunates. And I had to look this up because I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah, I don't know this.
This is evidently the Harvard School of Theater does original musicals every year, and this is their first year students that wrote a musical. This is during the pandemic, and they performed it on Zoom.
I love this. I love everything.
Which is
about
available
this.
If you go to offstageonair.com, you can get a link to the YouTube of it. But this is, and they also evidently recorded a cast album. This is called I Know the Fortune Teller. We'll be right back.
I heard the fortune teller has a secret past to share.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air. We just have time to say goodbye. You know, because we have to make room for others that want this studio. We can't monopolize it.
I can't believe it's not Lisa and Nicole Day all day, every day.
This was a fun show.
This was a fun show. Yeah. I miss seeing your face.
I know. It was good. And thanks again for the...
Because I love me some Lisa Sheps.
Yeah, I love me some Nicole Shiro. So that's it for this to this week.
This Wednesday afternoon.
Coming up next is the Austin Cooperative Hour. This week again is the Austin Common Radio Hour with John Hoffner. He's here trying to steal the microphone away from me.
He likes
but
to
I say nay, verily, I'm going to keep the microphone myself.
Maybe we'll get some choreography on this mic dance.
Maybe we will. So we're going to go out with something from the movie of Color Purple because their album just came out. And this is Danielle Brooks singing Hell No.
Yeah, which is, not that there is a bad song in the Color Purple.
There isn't.
But I'm like, this is a really good song.
Yeah,
but I feel like isn't. I say that about every song.
Well, which is true because it's the Color Purple. Did you get to see it yet?
The movie?
Yep.
No.
Okay, you need to.
I'm thinking about it. I actually want to go see Wonka too.
I want to see Wonka and Dix the Musical. I need to see as well.
There's a few out that I actually want to go see. So, yeah.
All right. We'll go. So this is, we will be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. This is Hell No from The Color Purple. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye.
I feel sorry for you to tell you the truth. You remind me of my mama under your husband.